This is Living Connected, and we are your hosts, Katie and Kyle. NBC Academy is holding the 7th annual NBC Festival this November 20th through the 22nd. There will be 33 trainers presenting in multiple languages. We want our listeners to be a part of this amazing event. I have provided a link in the discount code in the details of this episode below. This discount code will end September 30th. There will be a different code next month for $50 off. Register as soon as you can. Hope to see you there. Our society influences how we see the world, and sometimes what we say or do can be received differently than intended. Negative impact can happen to anyone in all sorts of situations. How do we respond or mend if we have an impact on someone negatively? Is there a way to build trust back and communicate effectively? Kyle and I roleplay a situation that demonstrates acknowledging impact. Eric, our special guest, will help guide us through this interactive piece of this episode. Eric is a candidate to become a certified trainer in NBC through the Center for Nonviolent Communication, and he enjoys snacking on some chocolate chip cookies. Welcome, Living Connected! We have Eric here today! He's joining us as our special guest for the week. We are super excited to have you on, and we're gonna check in.
Yeah, I guess I can start. The smoke here is pretty intense, and so I'm definitely feeling it in my body. I clean windows, and so I'm outside a lot, and so I've been wearing a respirator, which is kind of nice, but it's also kind of hard to breathe in that. I have a course coming up this Saturday with a group of people that wanted me to come teach them MVC.
Yay!
And so I'm really excited about that. That's going to be really fun. It's been a while since I've taught, so I feel like a season of my life of feeling isolated, mostly because of Corona, and now like finding new spheres of friends that I feel really good with and are really encouraging. So yeah, so I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling energetic and I'm feeling excited to be here with you guys. So
I can tell. It's so good. I'm glad that you're feeling good. Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
How are you doing, Eric?
Thanks for having me. I have been looking forward to this for more than 2 months when Katie first talked to me about it. I don't know where you were doing. Apparently, Kyle, you were in court trying cases as a lawyer or whatever it is that you do during the day. I thought you were a lawyer. I thought you were going to show up with a tie and a suit and a really nice haircut. And yeah, I am feeling great. I'm feeling playful, as you can see. I'm really excited. I've listened to 80% of your episodes. I love the energy. I have all kinds of judgments and evaluations of you two that I may or may not share later. I drove my son down from where I live in San Jose to his school.
Wow.
It was so wonderful because I was not in the car with my wife and my son. I was in a car myself. And so I was able to talk to three of my NBC friends, four actually, if we include Katie, over the period of the 3 hours. And I drove straight through and the time just went so fast. And I had these wonderful NBC conversations. It was so much fun.
Sweet.
No, wait, I didn't talk to Katie. I talked to you on the way back. Anyway.
Yes.
So I ignored Katie on the way down, but I talked to you on the way back. And then as we're driving back and I'm talking to Katie, and you can tell probably from my voice, I speak loudly, especially when on the phone, because I want to make sure that you hear me. And my wife is listening to music, and ultimately I learned that she really can't stand the sound of my voice, because she would be listening to music and I would be talking to Katie or whoever it is, and she was getting a headache. So eventually we just pulled off to the side of the road, and then I spoke very quietly to the next person I talked to and in the passenger seat, and I turned my face away from her. And I would say, and what was so funny is she's using these bone conducting headphones. So the sound is going straight to her eardrum.
Yeah.
So I would turn over and say, can you hear me? And she'd just keep singing. She couldn't hear me at all.
Whoa.
turn back and turn to the window. So, you know,
awesome.
You know, it all worked out. I had my nice quiet call. She got her music and we got back safely. And that was great. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to see what we're going to talk about today. So thanks, Kyle and Katie, for having me.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Eric.
We're glad that you're here, too.
And I'm in case you didn't figure that out. I'm totally in.
I am, like, burning up in this room. I'm sweating. Oh, it's so hot. And you can't have the windows open because the smoke is so bad. So I've had all of my windows closed for most, the whole time. I've got, like, two air purifiers on running 24/7. And holy moly, I am feeling very excited. I'm very happy that you're here today. I'm glad that you're playful because I really like playfulness and need that in my life right now. Mm. I had to text my ex, the one, I'm going to say that he's the one who got away. I'm going to just nickname him that. And because he has mail at my house. And the day after that, I started getting this eyebrow twitch. And I'm so upset about it because it's so annoying. And I remember my last relationship, I had gotten like an eye twitch. So I definitely, it's something common that happens when I'm like compounded with a lot of stress and a lot of just grief of breaking up. I'm trying to be mindful of when it starts. Because right now it's okay. So far, not twitching, but it does show up when my thoughts start to, I don't know, become more intense maybe. And so when I distract myself with other things, I notice that it sort of goes away. So I've got that happening. The smoke is happening. Having asthma and being outside gives me a headache. And I start coughing and sneezing because it's all in the air. And so, yeah, just kind of trying to take it really just low key, editing and reading this book called Attached about all of the attachment theories and styles, which has been mind blowing. Yeah, it's really created some different perspective on how I've looked at this relationship that I was in and some patterns that I noticed. It's definitely needs for learning, awareness, progression, so I don't feel I went through this week 3 days of like anger, rage, and regret. And having this eye opening about while I'm reading this, I think has really helped me heal in a very small way and have some growth in how I will proceed into the next relationship when I go into it. And yeah, I think I feel complete, feel good.
Are you up for a few empathy guesses?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, in MVC, we're supposed to ask. We don't always ask. Sometimes we assume, but I'm just going to model it. You have the eye twitch. That eye twitch must be really annoying and frustrating for you. Is that, how does that land?
Yeah, it's, yes, super annoying. Makes me just want to, like, pull it out.
yeah, just pull out that twitch. Just pull the, just, you can just imagine yourself pulling the twitch, physically pulling it off of your face, and, like, it's gone. Yep. I'm not going to be, it's just, I don't even know what the need is underneath that. Do either of you have an idea what the need is?
Is it a need for stability?
Yeah, maybe the twitch is like the chaos on my face. And maybe it needs some less chaos on my face and less twitching. So stability, some ease maybe. Less stress, obviously. It's stress related. So what would be a need for stress?
Do you have a need for consistency?
Maybe consistency, yeah.
So maybe peace or harmony?
Yeah, I think all of those resonate.
So if your eye was twitching but you weren't stressed, would that bother you?
I don't know. I've never had it be twitching when I wasn't stressed.
Yeah,
that wasn't
an empathy. That, just so you know, there was no empathy. That was, I just put you into your head. That was all thought based. So that was an
empathy. It made me think, though.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to go into sympathy or storytelling now. I'm just telling them. So when this doesn't happen very often, when I get stressed, and actually now I'm actually starting to twitch a little bit, but when I get really stressed, my eye will twitch. When I've been super duper stressed. my eye will twitch also. But at that point, I'm so dysregulated, it doesn't matter what's happening. I don't care about the twitch. I have to deal with the thing. Oh, maybe that's... So is that what it is? Is that you're focusing on the twitch because it's the one thing you think you can control, whereas the other things you can't control? Is that what's happening?
Oh, interesting. I do think about control and how when I have control, I feel a little bit better about having a sense of controlling something. I can't control my freaking twitch. It won't go away. I mean, I guess unless I just pretend it's not there.
So how does control in your life serve you? Is it predictability?
Yes. And like Kyle said, stability, consistency. Yeah, all three of those. A sense of control brings a grounding. I can predict that this is how the outcome's gonna be because I do it. My freaking Twitch, I don't know when it comes and goes, but I do know that it's stress related.
So there's something in there about how the control supports predictability, consistency, and some amount of peace and orderliness. Yes. And structure.
Order. Structure. Bingo.
I can't tell if you're making fun of me or not. Are you? Is it really order and structure?
No, for real. No, those are real.
Those really landed for you? Okay, just checking.
Yes. I write them down like all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Eric, I really appreciate how you phrased that. Because sometimes I hear people say strategies as needs. So control to me is a strategy. And your response in thinking about control, you didn't like dismiss it and try to find something else. You actually like went with it and you said like, how does control serve you? And I just really appreciate how you put that.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. I'm really glad you pointed that out because that was going to be the learning point I would throw at you and your listeners. I learned this from Mary McKenzie. I took a class at NBC Academy called How to Facilitate Groups with Joy and Confidence. Mm. And one of the things that she taught me is you never actually go and lecture the person, which is what you were just saying. You don't lecture and say, don't be giving me strategies, only giving me feelings and needs. Instead, you say, well, really, how does control support you? And surprisingly, of course, that control thing is a huge thing. So I think it's a great way to, instead of teach someone, facilitate or guide them into the feelings and needs space. So thanks for pointing that out, Kyle. I really do enjoy when I listen to you two on the podcast and I see you playing off of each other like this. It's really, really neat.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you for offering to ask some guesses in there. And that was really good.
Great.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we could dive into other deeper things.
Well, I would just love to hear a little more about you and kind of your experience with NVC and what your journey's been like.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. A friend of mine, Lorraine Aguilar, she's based out of LA. She's one of the first 200 trainers ever to get trained. I went to graduate school with her years ago, and she eventually became an NVC facilitator. One of the first 200. And she introduced the idea, and I was like, oh, cool. So maybe 7 years ago now, I would guess, I bought the book and I watched the video. I watched the video 5 times. I read 1/3 of the book. I was like, I can do this. I know this stuff. I can do this. And I tried it out on my kids. And I was just like, feelings and needs. I get it. I totally get it. And I had some small success with my kids, And I went to an international intensive training. This is a 9-day, 24-hour residential training last year in February. I walked in the door, thought I knew everything. You know, I was like, this is great. I'm going to learn these skills. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to make $1 million a year. That was my thing. I go in there the first day. And I'm looking around the room. I was like, I know all these people. So then we have dinner that night. And as we're leaving, this little woman, I can say little woman because she actually was shorter than me. And I look into her eyes and she says to me, she looks up in her eyes and her eyes, she's a little Asian woman. I could say that. A little Chinese woman. I could say that too because I'm of Chinese extraction. She looks at me with her big glasses on and they're big glasses and her eyes are glistening. They're shining the way they do in a Japanese anime where they're just like, they're just bright and they're shining.
Yeah.
She looks up to me and she says, conflict is an invitation to connection. Okay. I look down at her and I say, what the fuck are you saying? In my head, I'm just looking at her thinking, what have I gotten myself into? This is totally nuts. And I'm like, I would say it was confusion, disbelief. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? I have 9 more days of this. Okay, we walk from the dining hall down to the opening circle. And it is the slow-ass experience you have ever experienced. Like, you know how yoga can be slow?
Yeah.
This was yoga slow, like at half speed. I'd like to invite you to the circle. We know you all gave up something to be here for 9 days. It's a significant investment. We're going to invite you to get in touch with your body and make some observations and ask yourself some questions. What is it that you're... And I'm just sitting there. Even now I'm getting goosebumps. As I'm thinking about this, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I have another 9 fucking days of this. It was truly the most disconcerting thing in the world. And it was torture. It was really torture for me. But by day three and day four, I was like, I can't believe I only have 5 days left of this, or 6 days left of this.
Wow.
And I came out of that thinking, I'm going to start my own business and do some other things, some other dreams. I'm not telling you two here because they'll give away all my secrets. But I came out of that, and I pretty much wanted to be a facilitator since then. So, you know, I went to a practice group at the Laughing Giraffe, which is a place here in San Jose. I've done well over 100 hours in that practice group over the year and a half before COVID hit. I'm in a Southern California group, which has about 60 people in it now, and I've been active in sort of leading that. And then we have a smaller certification group of about 14 people, and we're on the journey together. And we've now started a small organization. A few of us, we call it NBC Day One, and we're going to be trying to hold events every 4 to 6 weeks just as a way for us to get our practice skills up, and we invite people to come, and we'll have beginners and intermediate. So that's the next phase, is to get practice. And the most important thing for me most recently, I've decided just to take it easy and not try to rush and be a superstar, not the way you two are trying to be superstars in the podcast. I'm just trying to take it easy and build up a following and learn my skills and hopefully accompany my friends. I have regular empathy buddies. I have semi-regular empathy buddies. I'm on my way. So on our next event, just so you know, is October 9th and 10th. And hopefully I'll give you two more information later for you to put on the podcast.
Awesome. I love that I pretty much laughed through that entire thing. I try to hold back. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and that story. It really brought joy into my heart.
It is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and I have an NBC humor is, you know, as you both know from the Jackal experience, the Jackal stuff can be pretty funny, and then once you have a high enough level of trust,
yeah,
you can pretty much say anything you want to an NBC person. if they have a sense of humor, they'll laugh at me pretty much, right?
Hey, we've got good sense of humor here.
Yeah, I really love what you say about NVC is a practice, and this way of speaking is like hard to get inside of us because we've been trained in a certain way of speaking for so long that I just really appreciate that perspective of like, no, I just need to continue to sit with this, continue to return back to this place, to do it in community, to be together in speaking in this way and thinking in this way and moving from the heart.
Yeah. You know, when you say heartfelt things like that, I don't think you're a lawyer anymore, Kyle.
I don't know how you think that he was a lawyer.
I just assumed he was an asshole.
You haven't listened to the podcast then, like, on normal speed. I know you listen to it 4 times fast.
double.
I did. I listened to the first X episodes, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes, and I listened to them at, like, 2 or 3X speed, because, man, you guys talk slow. But I listened to it super fast, and it was great. And then I could listen to it multiple times, and I got a sense for your humor and your pace, and that was fun, and you two are just charming individuals. That's all I have to say.
Well, thanks, Eric. Oh,
thanks, Eric. Yeah.
The topic that we are talking about today is acknowledging impact when we have said or done something that has negatively impacted somebody. And does intent come along with that? How do we work through the ocean of this roller coaster when we have said or done something that might have been hurtful? Even though we didn't intend for it to be hurtful, we need to acknowledge the impact that we created or stimulated.
Right.
When I think about that, immediately I think about situations where I've felt justified in what I'm doing. I had a conversation with a friend, and I was trying to share with him some of the things that he's said to me that hurt me. All of a sudden, he's saying things that are...
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, that are like, yeah. Well, I see it's your fault. Like, everyone else in the room, like, didn't have a problem. You're the one with the problem. He said something like that. And so immediately, I remember walking away and just being like, you know what, that asshole, like, whatever, like, I did nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. When I'm in that space of, like, feeling justified, it is so difficult for me to be like, okay, I'm going to acknowledge the places that I have contributed to this disconnect.
Yes. What you're noticing is that when you're activated or triggered or blamed in this case, and you're feeling this strong emotion, it's hard to stay in a place of connection. Is that what you said, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like this topic for a number of reasons. I think it's great and it's hard. It's hard at all levels. At all levels, I mean beginners and intermediate and advanced. And I think it's actually difficult exactly for the way that Kyle has outlined it, or challenging, or whatever word you want to use, because people who practice NVC for years still get triggered, and it's hard to stay in connection.
Yes.
And it's hard if there's blame and shame. And although it can shift for people, people still will have that reaction. Yeah. And then the other thing is when you use words like hurtful, that it bugs me only from the perspective of this. Is I know, Katie, for example, I know you well enough now that I don't think you would ever be intentionally hurtful, as an example. What I think you're saying is that you're acknowledging that something you said could have the impact of being hurtful on someone else. That's really the energy of what you're
correct.
Saying. Is that
yes.
correct? Is there any self-judgment there for you? I'd say I'm checking. Or is there a little bit? Or is it an acknowledgement of the other's experience?
I think it's more of just the acknowledge that my words might have impacted them negatively or have harmed them in some way. I definitely don't take on shame or blame because I know in my heart where it came from. Even though I know we're not going from intention because that pulls away from the empathy piece for them. So I don't really sit with that. I just acknowledge and recognize that perhaps what I said wasn't worded correctly in a way that they have taken an offense or hurt or whatever. So I think it's just more acknowledgement and recognition for words.
It's acknowledging that you had an impact.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then I want to play into what Kyle said was like, he said he didn't do anything wrong in that instance. So Kyle, I love that you said that because I think this is important. I think, and I don't remember what I almost said, Kyle Rosenberg, Marshall Rosenberg said, you've never done anything wrong. Something like that, that we are fundamentally innocent and that we're doing the best that we can at all times. Brene Brown likes to say this quite often. And certainly in your situation, Kyle, where it happened to you, yeah, you were probably just trying to meet needs. And then the other person is, and maybe you explain there's this impact, and then the other person only has their training to go from, their lifelong program training. It's genetic, it's societal, it's familial, all three of those things. And just so you know, I got that from Arnina Cashdan, who has her method called the Compass. But it's these three things, and they're just programmed. So immediately, instead of taking responsibility for impact, that other person's going to go into shame or blame. And in order to avoid their own shame, they're going to go to blame. And they're going to say, Kyle, you're the one that's the problem. And it's you that's taking this thing, and you're too sensitive, Kyle, and everybody else here is fine with it, which I always find interesting. So I think that's interesting. So you might be going to try to acknowledge, getting them to acknowledge impact, and at the same time, they're unable to be in a space where they can do it.
Right.
Because they haven't gone to practice groups with you and Katie for, you know, 2 years or however long you've been doing
right.
it. So.
Right. Yeah.
One of the things that Marshall talks about is the idea of the obnoxious giraffe. And the obnoxious giraffe, one of the things they realize at some point as we go through and we learn the needs thing, that we have needs, we're like, oh, I have needs, and these are the needs, and this is important. And then there are strategies that I am tied to, and I'm going to advocate hard for my needs. I'm going to advocate hard for my strategies as well. And then suddenly for me, for example, suddenly Katie's needs and Kyle's needs are not important. It's just me. It's just whatever I want. And I'm going to advocate hard. And I'm not going to acknowledge that if I want to do something, it has an impact on the two of you. The idea is that in MVC, we can acknowledge impact with or without empathy. And we always have the choice of the three modes, self-empathy, empathy, honesty. And in your case, Kyle, if we work through your case, you have a choice now. You've set out your thing. You've said, hey, you had this impact, and the person is now blaming you. And now you're probably in a little bit of an emotional state, Kyle. Would you agree? Your jackal's up a little bit?
Not at the moment, no. But yeah, at the time,
right.
Immediately after,
and
yes.
then you say, like, so now you can go into self-empathy, and you can connect and find out what's going on. And then you can go into, then you have a choice after that to go into empathy with the other person, and then acknowledge the impact that your statement had on them. And you can do your empathy guesses. And then you have a choice. So you acknowledge the impact. you get their feelings and needs up. And then once they're calmed down, then you can go to honesty. So self-empathy, empathy, honesty, and you move through all of these different phases over here. And you have a choice that you can never go back, and you don't have to go back and say, you have to acknowledge the impact your statement had on me, other person, I'm Kyle. Or you can just do that and stay in connection, say, you know what, I'm going to go talk to my good friend Katie. Katie's going to get me, and I'm not going to get empathy from you. What I've been learning most recently from Aya Caspi and Mickey Kashtan is that depending on the impact and the acknowledgement of impact, if you've had a negative impact on me, Kyle, I may never go back to you and say you had a negative impact on me. I just might acknowledge that I had a negative impact on you, and I go to Katie, and I get support from Katie, and I get empathy from Katie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the concept is that, like, where you find empathy may not always be with the person that you want it from. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and I don't remember, but I actually think in one of the podcasts you talk about this, the attachment to strategy. So one of the things that also happens is I need to get empathy from a very specific person in a very specific way in order to feel whole.
Mm.
You know, that's definitely attachment to strategy.
I know Katie was sharing that there's a situation that maybe you wanted to chat about, or...
Yeah, sure.
Is that still on the table for you if you want to?
I had a situation happen where I was the person who said something that had impacted this person negatively. So here was the situation. So my friend and I, we planned on going on a walk, and I gave a range between 10:30 and 11. We agreed on that schedule time. At some time between that time was perfect. And then around 10:50, I get a message back suggesting 11:30. And I had already arrived at the park at this time. I was getting my shoes on. And by 10:55, I said, I'm already walking. My statement of I'm already walking was the negative impact that I had on this person. Mm. And from the reaction that I got, name calling, the stories of it's all Katie's time, it's all about Katie.
Mm.
I got that this person was very upset with me, with what I said.
Ouch. Was that kind of hurtful?
Yeah, yes. I mean, it definitely put me on a defensive side,
Yeah.
That's the other thing, is that when all of a sudden something I said has impacted this person, now I'm getting a reaction that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, she's so, what I'm getting is that she was saying, oh, this time is all about you. And that phrase that just like made you feel like, kind of hurt?
Yes.
Wanting understanding.
Absolutely. Understanding. I had fight or flight
yeah.
at that point. So through all of this, I don't think that I went straight to empathy with her, because I was more focused on the arranged agreement that we had to meet between this time and that. And I also didn't apologize at first. Mm-hmm. Later on down, yes, I apologized, because I also wanted to acknowledge the negative impact that I had on her and the hurt feelings that were brought up upon her from what I had said about leaving without her.
Mm.
I wasn't acknowledging at first empathy on how I impacted her. I also just stuck with facts. Lateness is common for this person. And at that time, I had obligations that I had to attend to before I had to meet up with other people. So there were things that I had to do before this. So 11:30 wasn't going to work for me. I think acknowledging that I should have said it this way or been more clear for you, instead of saying, I left without you, I'm on my walk already. When is it that you go to an apology? How do you repair something that is now still in conflict? You know, at what all of the parts of acknowledging intent, and what order? Is there an order? You know, do you have to listen to them in all of their anger first, before you can acknowledge, like, this actually impacted me too? All of these words of saying you need to hold yourself accountable for what you did, I'm like sitting over here going, I honored the agreement, and I was here 10 minutes early. You know, so I'm stuck on the facts of this is what our agreement was. So it's all, this whole thing was very confusing to me when I saw Eric's suggestion and this came up. I didn't intend to hurt my friend. That definitely wasn't my intention. I was meeting needs by leaving on time. And if this person suggested 11:30 and is commonly late, then that to me is going, oh gosh, that's 11:45, 11:50. I can't do that.
Yeah. I heard some surprise. And I think you said, you're also noticing or judging that there's a pattern of this lateness. There's so many layers to this. So again, remember, it's self-empathy, empathy, honesty. And I help you with self-empathy by giving you empathy first. There was noticing of this pattern. You had appointments and you had your own time restrictions. You had to get the walk done in a certain time, so you get, and you had arranged this, and you had an agreement, 10:30 to 11, and then you had the surprise. And you, one thing that I think is important that you haven't mentioned is this person is actually an important person to you. Is that,
yes, I.
She's the relationship you're having with this person is an important relationship.
Very much.
And I see you nodding.
Yes, I value our friendship deeply.
You value your friendship with this person deeply, and. You enjoy these walks with this person.
Yes, absolutely.
And you accommodate, or I'm going to say you adjust and you're flexible in schedule with this person. Because you know they're going to be, you know, 10 or 20 minutes late. I don't know if the word would be often, but frequently or from time to time or always, but one of those things.
Yes.
It's so valuable for you to stay in connection with this person.
Yes. Yes. I definitely don't want to lose the friendship. That would really hurt my heart.
It would be really painful for you.
Yeah.
And then you still had stuff to do. You had your own needs. You had some order. You had things that you needed to do. You had commitments. You had two or three things lined up afterwards. And at that moment, you made a choice to be very clear. I've started my walk, or I'm walking already. And that had an impact. And in hindsight, you had a regret that you typed it the way you did, because it had this painful impact on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you'd like to go back, and what I'm hearing is that you value this relationship so much, you'd like to go back and do some repair.
Yes. And at this point, it's been over a week since I've heard back after I apologized through a text message.
Right.
And I don't know where to go from here. I don't know how to mend, what to say.
You're confused, maybe a little sad.
Yes.
I'm going to guess. Is that right?
Yep.
And you're really wanting to stay in connection with this person who you really care about.
Yeah. Yeah. Hands down.
Yeah. Should I try to get you to cry now, or can we just keep going?
There's no crying here.
No, there's no crying here. Right. Right.
Not at least today, anyway. I've done enough of months of weeks of that. I'm good for now.
Oh, you've done enough months and weeks? Okay. Just a side note, there's a friend of mine who's helping to support one of these virtual intensive trainings now. She just told me she learned of a group of people who they actually will call or text each other when they cry each time during the week, just as a way of monitoring how touch in touch with their emotions are.
Aww.
I said that's probably not a group for me. But anyway.
That's super cool, though.
It is interesting, isn't it? These NVC people, they're nuts. I'm sorry, and I'm using the word they as a way to separate myself from them.
You nutso.
So you want to repair and you want to acknowledge impact, which is, so that's why this sort of topic is interesting to you, is what I heard.
Yeah.
And you've tried the apology via text.
I did try the apology via text.
Oh. And now you're looking for other strategies. And, you know, an apology is a strategy, obviously. Ignoring the person for 5 months would be a strategy. Texting them every few minutes would be a strategy, right?
Right.
Going over to their house with a boombox would be a strategy.
Yep. My apology was acknowledging the hurt that I stimulated. And I also acknowledged the hurt with me leaving without her. I also apologized for not being clear about 11 being the latest that I could do. I also apologized for not saying specifically 11:30 will not work. So my strategy to meet the needs of being able to do all my obligations at the time that I needed to do them was to say, I'm already walking.
Right.
I also like turned into me and was like needing some understanding and said, you know, I also just am under a lot of stress. There's just a lot of things compounded. And so because of all of that amounted stress, was the reason why I wasn't communicating effectively. So, you know, there is that, how it impacted me, or trying to get some acknowledgement and understanding of what my life is like right now. And that, you know, I didn't mean to say those things in that way. You know, and when we're under stress, a lot of times we're not thinking clearly. We're not necessarily thinking in our best heartfelt space. It's clouded over. And I already get anxious when I'm running late or I can't be where I need to be on time, you know. So there's also those feelings too that have added onto that. So I don't know if my apology also turning into me and how I need some understanding for that takes away from my acknowledgement of impact on her.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you were doing both empathy and honesty in one step, or in some steps via text message. And at the same time, you notice that when you're triggered or activated or flooded, it's hard for you to listen to others or to understand others. And I suspect that based on something you said earlier, she was in sort of this blame and shame thing as well. I think she said it's all about Katie and Katie's schedule. And so it sounds like maybe she had some emotional charge. And so it was hard for her to hear anything from you as well. And you were trying to give her empathy, and you were trying to get your impact on you and your needs as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, so much.
Text messaging is a hard way to go.
Yeah, for sure.
So acknowledgement of impact, could one form of it could be exactly just this. I acknowledge that I had this impact on you when I said this, and that may have been painful to you, and I'm sorry. There's a whole thing about NVC and sorry that we could go into. Maybe we'll do that a different time. But that would be one way of meeting her where she's at as a form of repair, and then including as in that then a request, which would be what you're familiar with. How does that land with you?
Right.
I would love to hear from you. Could you repeat back to me what you heard me say, or what you thought you heard me say, or write? And text message is a lot easier in theory. When you're listening, it can be harder. Text messaging has one benefit in that it slows things down and you could actually read it. However, I will tell you, I myself have misinterpreted text messages and Facebook posts multiple times because of the state that my brain is in. We could try a role play.
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, Katie, who are you going to be? Are you going to be your friend, or are you going to be you?
I think right now in the moment, I feel like it'd be the most challenging to be her.
Okay.
Because I already know what it's like to be me.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Kyle, and I should ask for consent. Are you open to me giving you some guidance on how to do this?
Yeah, I would like to hear, please.
Okay. So, and I apologize if you already know this. In this role play, you are going to try to be the perfect Katie giraffe. Okay? So what that means is, as little story as possible, only feelings and needs words as much as possible, or reflections or mirror reflections.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
A mirror reflection is the exact words back. I heard you say this. Did I get you? Okay? And then you only pull the essence, the smallest essence, if it's a mirror reflection or if it's an empathy guess. And you never guess more than one feeling and one need at a time. Now, I've seen you do this, Kyle. I have seen you do one feeling and one need at a time.
That's a good one.
So only do that and only reflect that. And the other guidance I was going to give you, if not Katie goes too long, you may interrupt with a giraffe guess. But if you can't guess something, then just give your own feeling or need, because it's a gift for them to say no. And your gift is the guess. Does that make sense?
Yes. Perfect.
So, Katie, here's the deal. The other engagement is this. You can be exactly her as you think she would be. You can be as jackally as you want.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
It's fucked up. You left without me?
You're feeling pretty angry right now, I can see.
Yeah, I'm angry.
Yeah.
You need to hold yourself accountable and responsible for what you just did.
Yeah, you really value responsibility, taking responsibility.
Yeah, for the actions of which you left without me.
Yeah, when I left without you, was that hurtful?
Yes, very hurtful. I only said 11:30 because it was supposed to give me time to get there before 11:30.
Oh, okay. Are you feeling confused about our conversation?
I just woke up late and I had a really rough night and I am just running really slow.
Yeah, so is it like you want some understanding, some like that you've been running late, that you've been kind of hard to get out of bed. Is that kind of what you're saying? Or?
Yes. You know, you using NVC isn't going to change what you did.
Yeah, sounds like you want some honesty, like real honesty. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I want you to hold yourself accountable for leaving. This is not the first time you've done this to me.
It's not the first time I've done this to you. Yeah, I'm curious, other like times that I've done this to you, like what comes up? Is there any specific like time? I'd love to know.
No, I just know that you did it.
Yeah, so you're wanting me to really take responsibility for what I've done. Is it for not showing up on time?
Okay, pause. Stay with her. You want to stay with her feeling. So what is she feeling or what is she wanting?
Are you feeling frustrated? And
yes, I'm.
Is it timing that you're concerned about?
Yes, and I am feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
I am really angry because I was going to be leaving in a few minutes. And you just up and left. It's not even 11 o'clock yet.
Yeah. Are you feeling frustrated?
Yes.
Like, did you need more time to get ready?
I did need more time. I told you I needed more time.
Is it something like you want space to get yourself prepared and, like, do what you need to do before you come hang out?
Yes, I needed that extra time and space to get the things done that I needed to.
Yeah. Is it important to you that, like, we have our time? Like, there's a time where we have together and, like, we're intentional there. And then the other time, it's, like, space in between. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Our time is important to spend together.
Yeah, so you really value hanging out with me. Is that what you're saying?
Of course I value hanging out with you. I enjoy our friendship very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. That, like, that really means a lot to me to hear you say that. And I've just been concerned about, like, our relationship. And I really want to connect with you and hear what's going on inside you. And maybe I've done some things that I know maybe caused some discomfort in you. And I really would love to know more about what that is.
So this is hard. So just so you know, actually, you did that just fine. I want to say the first thing is what you may have seen is she actually already started to shift into a heart space. So it may not even be required to acknowledge the impact further than you have. So you've already, in a way, acknowledged the impact. So we didn't actually practice that part.
Which impact? Sorry.
Just by saying in empathy, we got to needs. And what I loved about the way you did it specifically, Kyle, was you said, you know, it's really important to me that I know, you know, what you're thinking or feeling. So that was beautiful. And then at that moment, you can now shift to, I'd really like to be honest with you. So now you can shift from empathy to honesty. It's hard to see, but I could see it as a third party. But it's hard for you because you're like, I got to do this right because Eric's going to kick my ass if I don't do it right. you could say it. You could shift to honesty now. So what do you imagine you would say? I'm going to go mute in a second here. Now she's like, yeah, our relationship is important to me. So what do you say now in response to that? What are your needs that are important with regard to the relationship?
Yeah, because I really do. I really want to know, because I feel like we've had like a lot of hiccups in our friendship, you know, where it's like all of a sudden we have some fight and then like there's some space and then we make up and then it happens again and again. And I'm curious if there's underlying things there that you're feeling, maybe some dissonance. I'm curious, yeah, if you have anything to say about that or.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just done with this. It's just getting to be too much for me.
It sounds like it's overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah, and that you want some space.
Yeah, I think space is what I need right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can give you that. How is that for you to hear? That I want to really know and know what's going on inside you and what's going on in our relationship.
I appreciate that you're trying to understand what's going on. I just don't have anything to say anymore.
Okay. You know, it's really hard to hear that you feel pretty over this friendship, because I really care about you and I really value our friendship and our time together, and I've just heard you say that you valued our friendship too, and that you care about it. And so maybe I feel a little confused that you said both those things, that you're kind of done with it, and but then you also value our friendship. Is it that you just want some time?
Yeah, I value our friendship. When things like this happen and you leave without me, total asshole move, I don't feel like I want to do it anymore.
It's like you want togetherness?
Yes.
To be on the same page?
Yes. I want it to be not about you and what time you only want to leave.
Yeah. Do you want consideration? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm really curious as to how I can offer that consideration. Like, if you felt considered, what would that feel like?
You would leave when I wanted to leave.
Okay. Yeah, it might help me do that if... yeah, we're getting into strategy. Yeah.
So I think this is the challenge with repair and with acknowledging impact. It depends on the severity of the event. And in this case, I think you've acknowledged the impact pretty decently, Kyle, with your empathy guesses, even very initially. And you got not Katie to a point where she was in touch with some of her needs. So then from your discernment or your judgment, you said you wanted to go into it more.
Yeah.
So you have a choice to pivot.
Yeah.
And this is what's challenging, I think. Because there's no pure answer to this. If there is a discernment where you need to decide, do I pivot from empathy to honesty, or do I pivot to my honesty and my needs, okay, specifically? So you did that and you said, you pivoted to saying, here's how I feel, which is I'm sad and confused. And you can choose. So there's a rhythm which you need to feel into and sense. You need to. I'm telling you what you need to do, Kyle. There's a way that I like to try to feel into it. And I will tell you, I'm not adept at this. But I can see it sometimes when I'm watching other people, which is, of course, the most not as useful. So you could pivot to, here's my experience. I had a schedule, and today I did not have flexibility. I really wanted to walk with you, and I had no give.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I was going to say, where that shift comes in, where Kyle gets to actually say, mm-hmm. here's how this impacted me.
Yeah.
Here's how this has affected what happened to you and how you felt about the situation. Because you empathized with me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now when does that table turn where, okay, I might have come down. I see that we value friendship and togetherness and wanted to connect.
Yeah, make it more of a dance.
Is that space in me still angry to hear what he has to say?
Yeah, and you can test the waters, huh? Okay, I'm going to offer something from inside of me. Yeah, I was really busy that day and it was really difficult for me to get on time or whatever it was. And then you can see, okay, is there still some frustration that anger come up or some more emotions come up and then go back into empathy.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you feel into that. So if not Katie gets re-triggered, then you go back to empathy. Exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really helpful because I think for me, I'm especially... Sometimes I lose myself, like my own needs when I'm having dialogue, especially these kind of empathetic conversations. And then I have to stop myself and like remember, okay, where am I? What are my needs? And
self-empathy, empathy, honesty. So what you're doing is you're practicing your self-empathy to reorient yourself to yourself before you open your mouth again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Marsha used to say, know what you want before you open your mouth.
So good.
It's true. I mean... For me, when I'm flustered and in fight or flight, or someone's coming at me with all of this, it's really hard to do self-empathy first.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the only thing I could think of at the time was, I have obligations. There is no way I can meet at 11:30. My need to be on time, my need to get these other things done creates less anxiety, you know, order, structure. I mean, there's all sorts of needs that were met by me leaving on time.
Right. Yeah. So you were meeting needs and you recognize you're meeting needs. So there's no regret in there. And now you have hindsight, which is you could have done it in a different way, maybe.
Yes.
Knowing the person, attuning to the person, there might have been a different way. So you have some regret.
Yes.
And it's just practice, as Kyle said earlier, it's just practice.
Mm. Practice. Absolutely. And is it okay that Kyle doesn't feel heard or understood that here are the things that he had to do.
If I feel empathy from others, then maybe not.
It really depends on the person. So remember that little nugget, which was attachment to strategy or attachment to outcome? Mm. You know, I may have an attachment to get all my loving from Kyle, but it may not be that Kyle wants to give me all that loving. And in that case, I need to let go of that strategy, as an example, okay? Is that person may never be able to empathize with your thing because their pain is greater than your pain.
Yeah.
It may be that you have the greater resource.
So at that point, is that mean that their needs are just more important in that moment than mine?
We can use those words, more important, that's fine. Certainly we could use another way to look at it might be in that moment. So this is the analogy I learned from Yvette Erasmus. I use all these trainers' names because I want to honor what I've learned from them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that if you are in a space of more groundedness, more empathy, more open-heartedness, then it's your responsibility, in air quotes, to be the adult. That's not the best word to use, but the person that's going to start the conversation and start the repair process.
Makes sense. Which was going to be me.
It's going to be you.
Right.
And in your experience, in this pattern, it's going to be you. And you enjoy, respect, admire, appreciate, you value this relationship, you'd like collaboration, you'd like to honor agreements, and you value this relationship, and you're willing to be super flexible except for on that day.
Correct.
And that person, at least in the moment, may not be that way, and maybe later they will be, and it'll be a different conversation.
Mm.
The one of the things that, you know, if, say, in Kyle being me, that he would have empathy, and then if he couldn't reach the honesty piece of how this impacted him, he could go to an empathy buddy or someone else so that he feels heard and understood. Because like you said, Eric, there may not be any understanding or empathy from the other person. So then it would help in the healing process of this debacle that you reach out for somebody else just so that you feel better.
Yes, this debacle.
Yeah, and then there's other, like, there's certain relationships that I've been in where I've done that empathy bit and then I didn't say my truth or my honesty. And anytime I would be with that person, it was very difficult for me to be, because I'd never spoke what I had to share. And so there's this balance there of like, yeah, I want to be deeply honest and try to share in a way that they can hear. And even if they can't hear, it's assessing that friendship, that relationship.
Yeah.
Is it worth holding on to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can assess if you want to hold on to the relationship or you want to hold on to the specific strategy of being honest with them, or if you want to accept them as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or as the situation is, and maybe they accept you. And if it isn't, then you get to mourn and walk away and say, I'm going to reserve my capacity for Katie and all my other NVC friends and all the other NVC, non-NVC people. I'll never talk to them again. So you have that choice, and you're living in choice then. Do I choose to try to be honest and give us another try? Do I walk away? Do I accept and maintain? I mean, and this is not uncommon. I mean, most families are not NVC families. Most parents, siblings are not NVC parents.
No.
And it can be very disorienting to them. They're like, I don't know how to deal with this. So it's a very important point, Kyle. Are you attached to being honest with everyone all the time?
That's interesting. Yeah. And why do we hold on to wanting to be honest and say our truth? Where is it a point where it's just like, I'm content and confident with my needs and why they needed to be met? And do I really have that need to say my truth?
Absolutely.
Is it even necessary?
Yeah.
Should I just let it go? And maybe it's just not necessary to state it because I'm confident in me and my self-empathy that I can just sit with them and just be with them.
Just be with them because you're the one that has the presence and the empathy and the groundedness, absolutely, in that moment. And so the idea is to want without attachment. It's a Buddhist principle. And certainly I think it works through the lens of NVC, which is to have needs or wants and to acknowledge needs and to try to meet needs, but to understand that we're acknowledging needs and we're trying to meet lots of needs, but it doesn't mean all needs are going to get met, but we can try through strategies.
Right.
And if the other person's not open, it may never happen. And we can be sad and mourn, and we now can be in our power and decide where are we going to do and what are we going to do with our energy and time.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to say was acknowledging impact. I learned this idea from a certified trainer. Her name is Aya Caspi, who may or may not have learned it from Mickey Kashdan. And there's an essay that hopefully Mickey will be publishing soon. And I'm just name dropping because, you know, I can name drop. But the idea is we can acknowledge impact and then not try to get empathy from the person who's impacted. We can go to someone else to get empathy. So we simply acknowledge the impact and then go elsewhere.
Right.
As a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be powerful to do it that way.
Yeah. You know, there is like that craving that we want them to understand us too. We don't want to be left out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. there is such a powerful thing with the empathy buddy where I won't need it from them. Like my ex, the one that got away. I want so badly acknowledgement of the impact of his pattern of behavior that had happened. And getting that acknowledgement from my therapist or from a friend almost fills some healing and fills that gap a bit. You know, during a breakup, this is kind of where you go. It's like, I want closure. I want to understand. I want all the why. And eventually, I don't need it from him anymore. I will no longer need to hear it out of his mouth.
And then there's the acknowledging of your own needs in a relationship. Is this relationship meeting my needs? Or what needs is it meeting? And is there some needs that aren't being fulfilled there and like in a way that damaging to me or pulls me out of my heart center, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing to sort of dig a little deeper with.
Yeah.
So I want to try to reflect just something real quick, Katie, what you said. What I thought I heard you say is, in a way, it's liberating here that you can get your needs met to be heard and seen from other people.
Yes.
It's liberating that maybe you don't need to be attached to a specific strategy.
Yes.
That you can mourn, and maybe this gives you a little hope for healing and growth. Is it hope?
Yeah.
Hope and liberation.
Yeah. Because sometimes the hope sort of disappears when, you know, there is a conflict and you think that it's not going to get better, or, you know, you're not feeling like you matter, or that, you know, you're enough in this. So yes, it is liberating. And there is that sense of hope, being able to not be attached to that strategy and feel heard and seen and to matter from somebody else and not have to get it from that person specifically.
Yeah.
Not have to get it from that person specifically.
It's relieving.
That was really good.
Good. My work is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed our time together.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Katie, for having me. I appreciate it. So we'll do this again before too long, maybe, huh?
I really hope we get to do it again because this was really great.
Yeah. I was just curious, Eric, if you had anything coming up in terms of trainings that you wanted to share about or how people might be able to follow you.
Get a hold of you.
Yeah, that's great. First of all, they should email you, Katie, to get a hold of me. Secondly, we're probably going to have a Facebook group up called NVC Day One, No Spaces. I haven't decided yet. But the easiest way is to get in touch with Katie. We're going to be trying to hold NVC Day One events every 4 to 6 weeks. Our next one will be October 9th. 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. and then October 10th, so that's Friday night, and October 10th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. And we're trying to hit all the Pacific nations Friday night and Europe and Atlantic nations and maybe even India Saturday morning. So we hope that people will attend and hopefully we can put it onto your podcast and Katie can give you all information.
Oh, great.
And then, of course, I also work part-time for the NVC Academy. They have an event November 20th to the 22nd. NVC Fest, contact Katie and Kyle for the coupon of some kind when you listen to this podcast anytime up to November 20th. So contact them. The best deals come earlier. Third is keep listening to this podcast and tell your friends about it. Mm-hmm. Tell Kyle and Katie what you like and what you'd like to see more of and what you'd like to see less of so that they can make this a great podcast. Thanks for asking that, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Shall we check out and see how we're feeling?
I'm really glad that Kyle suggested the role play, and I don't know why it takes me so long to get there. I'm really, really glad, Kyle, you did that. I thought you did wonderful, and it was so much fun to be with you two here today. It really was fun. I was worried about talking too much, and the role play came up, and it was great that I could contribute in that way. So thank you so much for inviting me. It's really fun to be interacting with two people as young as you two. It gives me real hope for the universe.
Yeah, we want to do more role plays. I think that's really helpful. Yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation tonight. And yeah, I'm just feeling excited for more interaction with you, Eric, and to be more engaged in the NBC community at large and in San Jose there. I really like what's going on in your area. Good stuff.
Yeah, I feel slightly tired, less energetic as I started. I'm so thrilled with how the role play turned out. I love that you were able to mediate or sort of guide us with what a role play would look like, because I think that is also really tough to do when we haven't necessarily practiced role play that much. So I found it really educational and learning with growth and lots of needs met for just being together on this podcast finally. Togetherness, connecting, and it's been awesome. And I'm really looking forward to all the other topics that you get to join us on our podcast, Eric. And good job, Kyle. You did so good. Thank you for being me.
Yeah. You too, Katie. It's been fun.
Awesome. See you later, Living Connected.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. If you would like a copy of our Feelings and Needs chart, please email us and we'll send you one. The email is in the description below. Thank you for listening to Living Connected. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day.